this is a beautiful thing to be able to go through God's word and see how he deals with the family. And this 32nd chapter of the book of Exodus is really no different. I look at the passage, I see what's in the passage, and then I determine, how do I want to show what God is doing to the people in this one? Well, in this passage, I see that from the continuation of how God set everything up in chapter 31, I want to show in this passage that salvation is of the Lord. That salvation is truly of the Lord, and only acceptable service will be allowed. As I look in that 32nd chapter in the first verse, the word of God said, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mount, the people gathered themselves unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods. We shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what became of him. And Aaron said unto them, bring off the golden earrings which are in your ears, the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. And the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron, or Aaron as we call him. These three verses show that salvation is of the Lord. Now, I feel like I want to be a Baptist man tonight. Now, one of the things that we look at in the last chapter, God has already selected some people, and the Bible says that he has filled Aholiab, Bezaleel, with his spirit, wisdom, knowledge, understanding to do his work. Just like he chooses us and saves us to be his workmanship unto good works. Every article in that tabernacle was to do a work. It wasn't just fashion to be in that tabernacle looking pretty. That was a magnificent work to be done. Tim, why are you going backwards? Because I got to go backwards to bring us forward, or else it'll seem like I'm just ripping something out of its context. Now, when the word of God said the two tables were written with the finger of God, one of the things that I was looking at, and something that an individual brought to my attention as I was reading, is this. Laws come from God. He could have allowed Moses to write it the first time. He could have allowed it. He could have had a bird to peck it. Somebody said, what do you mean he could have? Let me tell you something. The God of heaven can do anything he wants to when he gets ready, except for sin and violate his nature. The thing that I want us to realize here, when I say salvation is of the Lord and only acceptable worship will be accepted. You see, when he was going to bless this family, dear, the most beautiful thing about this is he had selected these men and they were nowhere around. He had selected Aaron to be the priest and Aaron didn't even know it. He had selected Aaron's sons to serve with him in the priesthood. He had selected certain garments for them to wear. They knew nothing about it. He had selected even for Aaron certain things to represent the children of Israel. Moses is up in the mountain. God has already selected. God has already determined what's going to be necessary for you all to draw near to me so I can bless this family. Now, while God is doing this with Moses in the mountain, Aaron is down here with the people, and the people have seemingly forgotten about how God has used Moses, and their mouth let out some vitriol and some filth that's just about as bad as you dropping a rag in the sewer and then begin to wash your face with it. That nasty, that filthy, and even worse. And read that first verse for me again in your magnificent voice.
Now, when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron.
It's a bad thing when people think God is not paying attention. It reminds me of Genesis 11, when God told the people what to do, and when the people are not interested in doing God's magnificent will, guess what they do? They gather themselves together against the Lord and his anointed. Here you got Moses up there in the mountain with the Lord, and who is Moses? The Lord's anointed. And what they've done, they have gathered themselves together against him, and they took Moses' prophet. What do you mean, Moses' prophet? We got to stay with the book of Exodus. God had made Moses like a god to Aaron. Aaron was only Moses' prophet. Aaron, we don't read anything, him dealing with God one-on-one. Aaron is under Moses. You want to talk about a covering? The covering is when God is dealing with someone, and that someone is more interested in you than pumping themselves up. Please read the Word of God, Ann. Where it said they gathered themselves together.
The people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him.
Soon as the Lord just let a little testing come for this wicked and adulterous generation, what happens? These men, these ungodly men, what have they done? These men, these ungodly men got themselves together. They decided what I'm going to do is I'm going to get Moses out of our picture for good and let him be a memory. And Aaron, make us gods to get us up out of here. Stephen said in the 7th chapter of the book of Acts, they were wanting to go back and their heart had gone back to Egypt. We're not going to read all of Acts 7 today, but you can understand this is a corollary of some of the parts of what Stephen said. And so they said, we don't know what happened to him. He was gone 40 days. I can understand that. I can understand they may have felt that Moses had been killed up in that wilderness. But I want you to understand something that you never forget. God knows the heart of an ungodly man just like he knows the heart of a righteous. God had already given them commandments before, have no other gods before me. Don't make any graven images. God is here getting ready to draw near to them. Salvation is of the Lord. They don't really know God yet. It's just like what Jesus says. No man can come to me lest the Father that sent me draw him. And no man can know who the Father is lest the Son reveal him. Here, Moses is up in the mountain. This is not the first time he's been up in the mountain. God had revealed himself to Moshe, Moses. They didn't fully know who God was, but God was drawing them. He said, I heard some cries. I'm keeping a covenant that I made with whom? Abraham. With Isaac, with Jacob, if we roll it back, a covenant or a promise that I made to Eve, I am drawing near to the people that are not even following me as they should. I'm going to prove it to you tonight if the Lord be willing. So now, I'm drawing near. I'm drawing near. That means I'm drawing you, but I can't reveal myself to you like this because there's too big a gulf between us. So I'm using a mediator, Moses. I'm going to let Moses reveal me to you. I'm going to let Moses use signs, a tabernacle. I'm going to let him use garments. I'm going to allow him to use sacrifices and teach you what it means and teach you God's righteous standards. Therefore, by the time we get to the scene with Jesus, we should already know that no man can truly know the Father unless someone has been in the presence of the Father, reveal him. We should also know that by the time that we realize that the Son has already revealed him to us, that there was no reason for him to do it unless it was on God's own will. The Son didn't just come and reveal him. The Son came as a servant. Moses came as a servant. As a servant, the Son, we're talking about Jesus here, he suffered. He went through a lot trying to help the people. Look at the life of Moses. Here God is working out the same kind of thing, getting ready to reveal himself to the people through his servant. And they want to show in this passage how unworthy. Bring it home. How many of us have God tried to draw us to him? But when it comes time to hearing his word through his servant, somebody said, Tim, you pumping yourself up. Let's make it one thing perfectly clear. God can still use his servant that we think is dead. Moses is not dead. Mm-hmm. To God, all men live. Mm-hmm. When you read the book that Moses written, all five, mm-hmm. you read of Joshua, you read the Kings, you read the Chronicles, you read the Psalms. That's what Jesus called the law and the prophet. And when Jesus talked to the woman at the well, he said that the Father is seeking for someone to serve him in spirit and truth. Where else were they going to get the truth from? It was the word. They didn't have the right word of God. But the Jews knew what they were worshiping, although they often bastardized it. But Jesus authenticated and validated the scripture by saying, you search him. You think you have eternal life, but they testify of me. So they want to go back to Egypt in their mind. They're going to violate the second commandment. They want to make gods. And this Moses, he's not here. And we're not going to be faithful. Give me verse 2 again of Aaron and his mouth.
And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons and of your daughters, and bring them unto me.
Break off the blessings. Take the blessings that God gave you when you came out of Egypt. The gold that's in your ear. Take them. Take the one that you have had in such abundance that you have them, your sons have them, and your daughters have them. Take the very thing that God had gave you or given you when you despoiled the Egyptians, and take God's blessing and use it against him. Take God's blessing and use it for your own form of worship. I submit to you that worship in this family is getting ready to take place, but it's an abominable worship. What do you mean it is an abominable worship? God had given him his word. Make no graven image. If God's word is not enough, you will seek the substitute. Here they are seeking a substitute to worship God while they are violating what God has said. Remind you of what you see in the New Testament? When they want to get on to Jesus about the disciples not washing their hands right? And Jesus has to tell them, your tradition? You teach your tradition in vain? You break the commandment of God with your tradition? This is not something new to these people. It's not new to mankind as well. How many of us take God's blessing and use it against our life, our health, our strength, our genitals, our good looks, our money, our children, our time, everything that God has blessed us, and we go and we decide we want to do things our way. We want to live like we want to. We don't really care what God has to say. Instead of taking these very things that we read in the last chapter and the chapter before that God was going to use for himself, he was going to allow them to take the gold. He was going to allow them to use the gold, remember, to make different things. But here they're using it for Satan. How many of us have used our time, our life, our youth for the works of Satan? And God can't get an equal pay. God can't get equal time. And yet we think if we draw our last stinking breath today, those of us who are wretched, that we're going to go and be in his presence. Such a damnable thought. Such a damnable lie. We just make our lives a complete abomination for him. I will prove that too. The Bible is going to tell us tonight they corrupted themselves. Read some more of the Word of God.
And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron.
And the people willingly gave. How many people will willingly give in offerings, into service, of anything other than what God really wants? You have this great Mormon tabernacle. You have kingdom halls all over the place. Masjid and mosques go up all over the place. But when it comes time to hear the butt naked without chase a word of God, can we ever get somebody that's willing to do for God what people will do for a lie? When the people worship and give of their own, their talents, their gifts, their abilities to that is not for God, often they use God's name in it. And it makes the people feel good. That's why when you know what the Bible says, you can truly understand what the Word of God said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You have some false apostles Satan himself can transform himself to an angel of light. Don't be surprised if his ministers can change themselves into a minister of righteousness. Don't be surprised. It's happening here. The very man that was supposed to be a man of God, look at who he's following. Read some more of the sweet word of God.
And he received them at their hands.
And he received a bountiful offering. Go ahead.
And fashioned it with a graving tool.
And fashioned and did some of the very things. Do you remember last time I taught? I said that the Egyptians had those people doing all kind of works for them. But in order to do that which God wanted, they had to have the Spirit. It didn't matter how good a craftsman you were. I want a certain way. And you don't have that kind of skill. Secondarily, anything that you would make on your own to worship me would be an abomination. This is self-work right here. Self-work versus what God wants. Work is going to be done. But is it going to be the work of God or the work of self? People tell you there's no work, but they're not reading the scriptures properly. Now, the Bible says he fashioned it with a graven tool. Some people think that he had formed it with wood and then made the gold over it. I think so, and I'll show you why. Can I prove it? No. But I can prove he did it. He fashioned it, and they did what was necessary to make God very upset and violate the second commandment. I would also say they violated the first, but there's a reason why I'm not sure that if they violated the first. They may be using this to represent the God of heaven. And I'll explain as we read on. Please read.
And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool. After he had made it a molten calf.
Yes.
And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt.
Now, what they would say in some of the ancient world when they made the animal gods, that the gods would ride on the back of them. They would stand up and ride on the back of them or sit on the back of them so that in representing the animal that sometimes they were not necessarily thinking that the animal was the God, but was the place. Now, you know that when God made the Ark of the Covenant, the chest is just for the mercy seat and the cherubim to ride on. So you put the mercy seat with the cherubim, it's the top, on top of the Ark, and it had those golden rods in it to be carried that way. So when some of the ancient world and some of the people that have done some of the studies, and somebody said, why are you telling me what they said? Because I don't know everything. Duh. Okay. And I want us to understand, it may not be that they thought that this calf was God, mm-hmm. but that God would ride on it. It wouldn't matter. There was nothing supposed to be graven to make to help you worship God. It doesn't matter if it comes from Rome, the Pope, or the Peep. Please read.
And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it.
See, worship is going to take place by man one way or the other. If you're going to claim to know the God of the Scriptures, if you don't go according to his word, you will always worship him incorrectly. Now remember, salvation is of the Lord. Salvation of this family is being set up by God. And here these people are going to do it on their own. I submit to you that this is a picture of the world that say that we're good anyway. We give gifts anyway. We feed the poor anyway. We certain things that we do on our own and we worship and say we love God. Here Aaron is building an altar to a God that they made covenant with. Whereas it may have been acceptable for him to build an altar before they ever got a chance to talk to God, but not to the bull. Abraham made altars. Mm-hmm. So did the other ones. But now you're in covenant. Mm-hmm. You need to wait to do what you're told. Mm. Please read the word of God.
And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord.
Notice that it is capital L-O-R-D. Tomorrow is a feast to Yahweh. So this is the reason that I'm saying that to a great extent, I believe that what Aaron was trying to do is to supplement the worship of Yahweh. But that's not good, because that's not what God told them to do. That was never God's intention, and yet this is what Aaron did. I will read it from you in this other version that used the word Yahweh, the five books of Moses. It says, when Aharon saw this, he built a slaughter site before it. And Aharon called out and said, tomorrow is a festival to Yahweh. But you violated the commandment. The commandment was given in chapter 20. We're in chapter 32 now. So we realize that you have been fully told. But see, what happens is with mankind, even to this day, God's word is usually not enough. God's word is usually, we got feelings to come in. And feelings come in and help us alter. And we think we're serving God anyway. And God is going to reveal to you the way he wants his acceptable worship to be done by the family. Read, please, Andrina.
And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play.
One of the most amazing things about this verse is, read the type of offerings they brought. I just want you to listen to them. Read it again, please.
And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings.
Burnt offerings and peace offerings. It's not like God started everything new when it came to worship, because the world had known of God before. The world had known about sacrifices before, because Adam got clothes made out of skin. Mm-hmm. Cain and Abel knew how to worship. God did not stop the substitutionary form, but other people in other nations, they would burn the animal as if the God was just eating it or whatever, and that the God needed it. Here, the very same type of services that would be done, burnt offerings and peace offerings, are being done unacceptably. I made this statement before. You'll have people in this world that will feed homeless, feed the hungry, do all kind of what you would call altruistic things. But to worship God the way that he says, the way that he has revealed through his son who knows him personally, I can't do it. You mentioned Jesus. Jesus ain't the only way. Jesus is not. What would it look like? Moses is up there in the mountain, and when he comes down, somebody said, let me tell you something. Bezalel can build all of this. I know he got the Spirit of God. Oh, what about Aholiab and all these other wise people? Somebody say, Tim, that's ridiculous. Well, if you go and you peep ahead in your Bible, before we get to the next time when we finish this chapter, read number 16. Read about three men, Korah, Dathan, and Abihu, and the men that appertain to them. And that's how they're going to act. Am I right, Andrina? And God's going to show them who he is. Please read. I just wanted to make that one point on there. The offerings, the sacrifices they were doing, are very much the same one. Now, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10, I just want to give you a little taste of this. 1 Corinthians 10, 4. Because people are always talking about once saved, always saved. God would never save people to unsave them. I want you to understand, before you say God doesn't do anything if he knows you're going to be unsaved, tell me that God would never go through all this trouble to give people his Holy Spirit, to let Moses come down and reveal him to the people and to build a tabernacle, and tell me God won't let it get destroyed. Please tell me that you also mean that God won't allow Solomon to build a temple and let it be destroyed. Please don't let me know that God would allow, during the days of Haggai and Ezra to build a tabernacle and it be destroyed, and let Herod build one. Don't tell me that God, our God, will not allow you to build something up when you're unfaithful. Now, God did all this in the midst of their unfaithfulness. Paul writes about it and said, moreover, brethren, 10 and 1, 1 Corinthians, I would not have you ignorant how our fathers passed under the cloud and passed through the sea. We read about that. Were all baptized to Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They went through the sea, and some people say some of the water sprinkled on them, and some people like to use that for saying that that's baptism. That's right. But I submit to you that it was more than a water thing. It was being baptized. We baptize into Jesus without water. We baptize in water as a representation of being baptized into Jesus. It says, and all did eat the same spiritual meat, and all did drink of the same spiritual drink. Didn't God give them meat, quail, that they just picked up almost off the ground? They drank of the same spiritual drink, but they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. That rock was Christ. God gave them water out of a rock for many days. Except with many of them, God was not well pleased. But see, these people, They made these doggone things, and they called themselves making a feast and a festival tomorrow to Yahweh. Now, this says, but many of them God was not well pleased, and they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were our example. That's why I teach the Bible like this. Paul said these things are our example, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. What was the most evil thing that they lusted for? They lusted for what they could see in disregard to what God wanted them to have in his word. And they also wanted to have what God wanted on their own terms. The Bible said, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it was written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Read the last verse that you read again.
And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play.
All right then. This is why we like the whole Bible. Paul uses the whole Bible. The New Testament wasn't written then, and Paul was using this to let people know that if you turn your back on the Lord God Almighty, God can be unpleased with you, and it was written for your example. Whew, I could read more of this, but we're not teaching 1 Corinthians 10 now. You want 1 Corinthians 10? It's on the podcast, seekingthetruth.podbean.com. Go to it. Take me back to where we were in Exodus, precious.
And the Lord said unto Moses, go. Get thee down for thy people.
Wait a minute. What pronoun did he use there? Did he say my people?
For thy people.
He moved it from being his personal people to Moses' people. I don't think that was accidental that he used the term of dishonor for them. Please read.
For thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves.
I told you that the people, they were an abomination. I used the illustration of taking a rag that fall in the sewer and washing your face, and how filthy that would be in the eyes of God to call yourself worshiping him and using your gifts, talents, and ability and going to worship him contrarily to how he said. Contrarily. That is filthy. It's an abomination. They have corrupted themselves. Only one pause right here that I want to make. What had they done that we could see that they had corrupted themselves? Those who, when they read the Bible, to say, Tim, I don't see how you got that. Think about it. They got impatient. Mm-hmm. They said, we want a God that we can see. Mm-hmm. We want something now, and we want to be able to see it. Mm-hmm. We want to do it our way. And then, as Stephen said, our heart is already ready to go back to Egypt. Now, we've done this, and we've created this idol that God has told us not to ever do, make no image, no kind of graven of anything in heaven or earth. You know what he said in 20 mm-hmm. Exodus. Now we've done this, and that we got an offering, mm-hmm. we had a service, mm-hmm. we got a festival for God, mm-hmm. and we call it on his name, mm-hmm. and yet we're doing it in the way that he said not to. That is corruption. Is it any different than when Cain offered his own offering and he wasn't accepted? Why do we think that Jesus is going to say, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out devils in your name. Yeah. We did many wonderful works. You remember that, Jesus? Come on, man, don't act. He said, depart from me. I never knew you. You work iniquity, which is lawlessness. They are working lawlessness. Read some more, please.
They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them.
See, this is what people don't get about God. They want to say he's harsh. They want to say he's cruel. But he gave them a commandment. He is in the position to give commandments. He is God. He has promised them the world. He has promised them prominence. He has promised them the ability to lead the nation. He has promised them houses that they didn't build. He has promised them perfect health. And what did they do? They turned aside quickly from what he commanded them. And what did they do?
They have made themselves a molded cow and worshiped it.
Here's the thing.
And sacrificed to it.
Yes.
And said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt.
So when you see people and you read where people say they believe that the God sit on top and they would make these things, that the God was up there and then they would bow down and all of this. Does it matter what the people think? Does it matter what the people feel? It matters only what God says about it. Mm-hmm. Let me give you this little illustration, Ann. Today I was talking to a man, and the guy was telling me, well, this man, I've been working on him a long time, trying to get him to get right with God. And he told me, let's say I won't use the name Jay. And I said, how you doing, Jay? Doing fine. I said, do you walk in the Word? He took a long time. Not like I should. I said, then why do you practice wickedness? And he said, I don't. I just, you know, he just tell me how he felt about himself. I said, well, let me ask you this. If you tell me your name is Jay, and Andre tells me your name is John, who should I believe? He said, me. I said, okay. I said, well, if I read the Bible, and the Bible says if you're not walking in God's word, you're walking in rebellion. And that's the same thing as witchcraft in the eyes of God. Who should I believe, God or you? He said, God. I said, I do. I said, why are you walking continually in rebellion? And he thought about it. I said, how is it working for you? This man is 53 years old. He looks like he's every bit of maybe 67, 68. He's walking really bad. And really, just to make a long story short, I could look at him, and I use an illustration of him. I said, let me tell you something, young man. I said, let me tell you something. God doesn't have to kill you. God can let your back go out. God can let something happen to your knees. All these things I already had seen, you know, but he hadn't told me he had back problems. I said, he can let any of this stuff happen to you, and you could be without any kind of strength. And you want to rebel? I said, man, you already told me you're 53. Do you realize that if you live like God said, you won't even have to do it that much longer? I said, look at us. We don't have as many years in front of us as we do behind, probably. And I let him go with that. But the point that I'm making here is God said the way that they worship, I'm the final judge. They're bowing down to that thing, and they're worshiping it. And they're sacrificing to it. They've broken my covenant. They have forfeited all that I have to try to use me as a talisman or a good luck charm to get what they want. Hopefully we won't be that wicked to continue to do things like that if we've been doing it. Read some more of the sweet word of God, please.
And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and indeed, it is a stiff-necked people.
Do you see when God's assessment is that individuals, when they worship him in their own mind, but it's contrary to what he says, he sees it as a worship of something else. When you see that God sees not only that, that when you worship something, and even if you use his name, if it's not the way that he's revealed himself, he sees that as idolatry. He sees that as if you're given the credit for his life, that he's given you, his health, that he's given you, the strength, and you give it to someone else. And so when you read through the Bible and you see that God is jealous, you should understand why. It's the very same thing that you'll hear somebody say, I read that God was jealous and I got angry. Well, look at why God should be angry. And God said, the people are stiff-necked. They're not supple. They're stiff-necked to be rebellious against me, but they're supple to do wickedness. Please read.
Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and I will make of you a great nation.
Moses, how much do you care about them? I call them your people. My people wouldn't act that way. You see, my people will follow me. My sheep. We ought to hear Jesus talk. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And a stranger they will not hear. And so when Jesus talks like that, do you not understand that the very God that we're reading in what we call the Old Testament, they never saw the Father. Never, ever, ever, ever. John 1:18 says that. No man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Make it more plain, the only begotten God who proceeds from the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Somebody say, Tim, how you say that? You just make it up as you go. Well, did I make up Hebrews 1 and 3 that Christ is the very express image in God's person, whom when he had by himself purged us from our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty in high? I know what I'm talking about here. So we see in this particular case, God had revealed himself through his son, gave his word to his son. I mean, not his, well, I could call Moses his son, but I went back and got that. He gave himself to Moses to teach the people, and he said, they're your people. Now he said, move out of the way. Move. That I may let my wrath wax hot against them. Make it think of Zechariah when the people melted. That it may wax and I may consume them. And I will make of you, Moses, I'll make you a better nation than this one right here that I just attributed to you. I'll give you a better nation. Somebody say, what does this mean? This means that Moses in the place of Christ. Now somebody said, I thought you said the high priest was. You got to understand God used multiple pictures because we're dumb. And I don't mean just can't talk. I'm talking about ignorant and in need of help. So what God has done is placed Moses in the same position that he placed Abraham. Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm going to do? Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm going to do? And Abraham pleaded for Sodom. Mm-hmm. Yes, he did. And he pleaded for Gomorrah in the 18th chapter of Genesis. Here Moses is in the same position. Somebody say, well, you're reading old, quick, say an Old Testament to me tonight. Getting me riled in here. Did not Jesus plead for us? Even at the point when they were killing him. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. They don't know. They think they're killing me. What they're doing is sealing their fate. Jesus came, he said, the Son of Man come to give his life a ransom for many. So when we look at the Word of God, we begin to understand that he's making intercession. 1 Timothy 2 and 5 says he still does it. Here Moses is put in the position to be the intercessor because I know God. You all don't even know who God is. If you did, you wouldn't even want his wrath to wax hot. And what does Moses do, Andrina Reed?
Then Moses pleaded with the Lord his God and said...
Notice how he said the Lord his God. See, I'm trying to help you understand. When Jesus said, when I go to my Father and your Father, and when I pray to my Father, you pray to your Father, it's the same God, but often you're not in the same kind of relationship. Just want us to feel these kind of things. Please read.
Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt?
Did you feel that? I know I cut you. We'll have you to read it again. God said they're your people. Both say, no, Lord, not me. In the words of some of those little children that get bad, they say, no, it's ain't. Not so, my Lord. Burrito, read it again, please.
Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand?
Lord, you the powerful one. Why do you let your anger get hot with all your power against your people? Please read.
Why should the Egyptians speak and say, he brought them out to harm them?
I want us to look at this one verse, verse number 12. I want us to wake up if we're sleeping and arise from the dead mentally and let Christ give us light on this verse. This is a beautiful verse right here. Read it again, Andrina.
Why should the Egyptians speak and say, he brought them out to harm them, to kill them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth. Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from this harm to your people.
That's tasty. Let me tell you something. If a man never gets to the place that God's honor means something to him, you're not ready to serve him. Do you understand that the argument that Moses is giving is not, Lord, they're great people. Lord, they walk with you. Lord, Lord, they're going to march across Jericho for you. They're going to march around it. And Lord, they're going to be a shining light to the world for you. No, no, Lord, your word, your name, your reputation, Lord. Lord, they have messed up by the number, but people have seen what you can do. You brought them up out of Egypt. You did with your powerful hand. Lord, you showed your strength in them. Lord, if you slay them in the mountain, Lord, people will look and they'll say that you did this for that reason. Lord, your name, Lord. And he argued this case. He argued this case. Almost just like Abraham, would not the God of all the earth do right? Now, this is a different scenario. And you have Jesus, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Do you hear Jesus talking to them? If you take up your cross daily and follow me, you can be my disciple. Here, mm-hmm. I'm jealous for the Lord. And he said, Lord, look. Now, the Lord could have easily said, I don't really care what people think. I'm God. I still run the show. However, with all of that, the Lord listened. I'm very grateful that he did let us see that we can be in such a position that when we pray, if we're really serious about God, we may hold God's hand back from destroying somebody. The Bible is showing us to let us see that God operates like that. Please read.
Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own
self. Look at Moses laying that case out there. God, wait. Please, Father. Look, don't let the Egyptians think like this about you, but you made a promise. You swore this to Abraham, and you swore it to Isaac, and you swore it, Lord, by yourself. You swore it. Let your name be magnified, Lord. You said you would do it. You said you would multiply their seed, singular, not seeds, as the stars of heaven. Read it, Anne.
I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven. And all this land that I have spoken of, I give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever.
Verse 14.
So the Lord relented from the harm which he said he would do to his people.
Look at how beautiful the Lord is. Do you not understand that the same thing that Jesus does for us, no man, he said, can come to the Father but by me. Jesus told Peter, if I wash thee not, you have no part with me. If you're not baptized into Christ, in the body of Christ, you're outside of the will of God, and being outside of the blessed will of God, guess what? You are left to your own way of worship. And you can learn the words. You can say Jesus. You can say Jesus. You can say Jesus. You can say Gina. However you want to say it. But if you're not worshiping him in spirit and truth, I submit to you, you're on the same level as these people. But what did God do for Moses? He relented because of this prayer. How much intercession do we have for those that we know that are about to be destroyed? Because I know often I give up. They seem like they wear me down. They seem like the more you tell them, the more they do what they want to. The more they destroy their own lives and you watch them destroy it. You watch them add heartache to their life. You watch them add drama to their life. You watch them make financial burdens on their life. You watch them destroy their family, because what happens is something other than what God says when he brings his worship to us through his word takes the place, and we'll take a part of you, Jesus. But not all. But the Lord still relented. Read, please.
And Moses turned and went down from the mountain, and the two tablets of the testimony were in his hand. The tablets were written on both sides. On the one side and on the other, they were written.
Wonder how heavy Moses' heart was. Let's be biblical for a minute. Well, I thought we were being biblical already. We are, but I want to do it on another way. Let's pretend in our mind, this is what we should call for play, that you are Moses. Can you do that for play, dear? You're Moses. You've been up there with the fire of God. You've been there with the power of God. You hadn't even had to eat in 40 days. And you're not even about to be hungry yet. You're not even thirsty. You don't even know your face shining. And God has written on two tablets of stones on both sides. And you realize God was about to destroy every single one that you have put up with all this time. They have rejected a covenant where God was going to give them perfect health, perfect life, eternal life, the land of Canaan, leading the world to know the things of God. And they turn their back quickly. And you got to go back down and look at these kind of people and realize now you got to deal with a group of people that have already broken the covenant with God. As a true leader, you want every one of the people that you deal with to be saved. Jesus said, Father, all the men you gave me, I got all of them. Save one, the son of perdition, that the scripture may be fulfilled. Here Moses is, I've done all of this, and Lord, oh, please don't kill them. So here he comes down the mountain, heart heavy, knowing what God at just any second is ready to do. He's got the blessed tables in his hand, the table that would give you life. And I know you all are up to stuff. I know what you've already done, but I hadn't seen it. Did you get to hear about how bad Katrina was, the hurricane or tsunami? Or you can hear how bad it was in Haiti. You can hear about it. But to see it. Yes, yes. Please read the word of God.
Now the tablets were the work of God.
Now the laws that were written, I do believe it has something to do with it. That at one time in man's life, God wrote his laws. Mm-hmm. He wrote it, not Moses. So it's not Moses' law. Mm-hmm. No other person. God wrote it. Please read.
And the writing was the writing of God engraved on the tablet.
God can write? People think God's not educated. In the denotative sense of the word, God is really educated, which means to draw forth from within. Every form of communication comes from God unless it's wicked. And usually if it's wicked, it's a perverted form of what God has given. He comes down with the tablets, and as I said, when you see they're written on both sides, some think that they maybe God wrote through it and it burned through both sides so they could see it through both sides. I actually believe that when God wrote on both sides, he wrote the whole thing for two copies. If you can find something different, give it to me. I'll roll with that. But I believe it's one for him and one is a witness against the people. Please read.
And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, "There is a noise of war in the camp."
They are praising. And they clapping and they singing and the music is going and they doing stuff. It was like I have visited churches where the preacher said, "And Jesus," and the music go boom, 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 boom. And then they say, and the Lord, boom, 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 boom. And it's like, this thing, God is my witness. If I'm lying, I wish he would strike me dead right here and let me be consumed and let the worms eat me. Sometimes that music be so loud, it hurts my ears. It bounces off the wall. Didn't you watch a video or something where you said that Floyd said that they make their music that loud because it makes them have a feeling?
Yeah.
And I went there and I saw that folly. Imagine what it must be like to be able to serve God and be wrong with it, and you get to determine what the service will be. Can't you get into it? Please read. It was loud noise. It loud is so loud. The air is so loud he thought it was war in the camp. Then follow what I'm saying in this one. Imagine if it was war in the camp, women screaming, because babies being killed, husband being killed. I mean, this is noise. Please read.
But Moses said,
"It is not the noise of the shout of victory, nor the noise of the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing I hear."
Oh, and they got a song. They feel a song in their heart. Please read.
So it was, as soon as he came near the camp, that he saw the calf.
He saw it. He saw it. He saw it. You've been with God. And then you see this piece of crap. Mm-hmm. You've been with God. And then It's almost like seeing, you know, the most beautiful picture in the world painted, and then some little child got on the thing with their finger and drew something. And said, oh, look how pretty this is. We're going to put this one in the museum. It's the same thing that I believe that when Eve was with God, as she saw Adam, she should have been able to realize there was a difference between one and the other. Here Moses come down, been in the presence of God, and he see all this worship over this piece of mess that you've made. What that must, if you could take your mind through that, you wouldn't you want to slap somebody? Wouldn't you feel like that? I pray for you all. Please read.
And the dancing. So Moses' anger became hot.
Can't you understand it now? It's not that Moses being a bully. Look at, he realized what you forfeited. Anybody that has a child that is in jail, anybody that has a child that will not listen, that have destroyed their life, anyone that has a child that won't do well in school, when all those schools aren't the best, anyone that has a husband that won't treat you right, can't you see that sometimes getting angry is because I know you could do better and look at what you forfeited. You are forfeiting your future. You are forfeiting your life. You are forfeiting being with me. You are forfeiting the family. In this case, you have forfeited God for this? Out of all the work that I've done, out of all this mess you have brought me, this grief, do you think Moses shouldn't be angry? Please, you think he doesn't really care. You only like it whenever he pleads for the people. You like that emotion. You like it when he cried to God and when he makes intercession, but he can't have the whole gamut of emotions. I submit to you that a child of God can have all emotions, just don't be sinful in it. Read some more of the sweeted word of God.
So Moses' anger became hot, and he cast the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain.
Well, I went up into the mountain to meet God, and God was there, and I was coming back down with God's word, God's glory, God's instructions for you, how to serve him acceptably, how to take you all up into the mount while you're down in the wilderness, how to literally have God's presence right here. But look at what you've done. Look at how you lived. Lord, have mercy on your souls now. From what I've seen, you've broken the covenant. That's why I'm angry with you. This in my hand is a relic. This is just like if Andrina, the precious Andrina, decided I'm going to leave you and I'm going to go marry somebody else. I've already got the paperwork done. It's airtight. And she divorces me. I could wear this ring 1,000 years if I live that long. It's a token. I may as well take it off and throw it up against the floor. Take it to one of those people to tell you they pay top dollar for gold and give you $6 and act like they gave you a whole lot. Because the covenant is broken. And that's why Moses could be as angry as he was. Because I used to wonder when I was younger, why didn't God get angry with him for breaking the tablets? Who told him to do it? They did it. They did it. It's just like when people go to hell. It's not God. They do it. Please read, precious.
Then he took the calf, which they had made, burned it in the fire, and ground it to powder. And he scattered it on the water and made the children of Israel drink it.
Made the children of Israel put it in their mouth and swallow it and drink it. Now, this is where we're going to stop on this passage, but we need to go to Numbers 5, because this, if I would have went faster in this chapter, then I wouldn't have been able to enjoy it as much as I did, and I want to enjoy the Word of God. Now, we're going to talk about something called the law of jealousy just for a moment, and I want you to see something, because the next time when we come and finish this chapter, I want you to see when God put the plague on them, it's going to be similar to what God is going to state when a man thinks that his wife has cheated on him, okay? And Israel is supposed to be in covenant with God. They're supposed to be his bride. He's supposed to be their king. And so I want you to look at the 12th verse, please, of that chapter. Well, read the 11th, so do you know that God is saying it.
And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, if any man's wife goes astray and behaves unfaithfully toward him. And a man lies with her carnally, and it is hidden from the eyes of her husband. And it is concealed that she has defiled herself, and there was no witness against her, nor was she caught. If the spirit of jealousy comes upon him, and he becomes jealous of his wife, who has defiled herself, or if the spirit of jealousy comes upon him, and he becomes jealous of his wife, although she has not defiled herself, then the man shall bring his wife to the priest. He shall bring the offering required for her, 1/10 of an ephah of barley meal.
A little bit of barley, go ahead.
He shall pour no oil this on it.
Different kind of sacrifice, no oil.
And put no frankincense on it, because it is a grain offering of jealousy.
Okay.
An offering for remembering, for bringing iniquity to remembrance.
Read on.
And the priest shall bring her near and set her before the Lord.
I submit to you that the children of Israel, being the bride of the Lord God, God has selected her. If you read Ezekiel 16, you'll see that they had committed adultery, spiritual adultery. They had served another god, and the God of heaven that is jealous that was going to consume them, he did not consume them at Moses' word. But when we finish this chapter, we're going to see God's going to bring a plague on them. I want you to see where God has shown that this jealousy thing is a serious thing when a woman cheats on her husband. And the point being made is God has used the family as a replica, as him dealing with us. If we don't get right with the family, we're not going to be right with him. Get our mind to start thinking what God thinks, his word, his family. Then when families come together, you can have what you call a church, not just a big institutional thing we can do like you want to. Read in for time's sake.
The priest shall take holy water in an earthen vessel, and take some of the dust that is on the floor of the tabernacle, and put it into the water. Then the priest shall stand the woman before the Lord, uncover the woman's head, and put the offering for remembering in her hands, which is the grain offering of jealousy. And the priest shall have in his hand the bitter water that brings a curse.
Read.
And the priest shall put her under oath, and say to the woman, if no man has lain with you, and if you have not gone astray to uncleanness while under your husband's authority, be free from this bitter water that brings a curse. But if you have gone astray while under your husband's authority, and if you have defiled yourself, and some man other than your husband has lain with you, then the priest shall put the woman under the curse of, under the oath of the curse. And he shall say to the woman, the Lord make you a curse and an oath among your people. When the Lord brings your thigh, when the Lord makes your thigh rot and your belly swell, and may this water that causes the curse go into your stomach and make your belly swell and your thigh rot.
Yes, that's a plague. Read.
Then the woman shall say, amen. So be it.
In other words, the Lord's will be done. If we were to read the rest of this, we're not going to read the rest of it. If the woman was innocent, then what would end up happening is the woman would become fertile and have a child. Now, look at what happened here in the 20th verse. We were back in Exodus, and the Lord, not the Lord, and he took the calf which they have made, he burned it with fire, ground it into powder, strewed it upon the water, and made the children of Israel drink it. And we will find out as we go on later on, because I don't want to take up all of the time, that we're going to find out that a plague comes on them and kills. And that's not all that's going to die. Some more are going to die because of the fact that they made God jealous. Although the Lord relented, there was some that still had to suffer the consequence of their ungodliness, because when God came with Moses, the revealed word, the revealed intention of God, what he had to do, some of them still decided, I'd rather stay with the false worship than to stay with on the Lord's side with what Moses had to say. And God showed them what it was. Salvation is of the Lord. It is not of man. The works are of God. They are not of man. There is work to be done, but God is going to reveal what he wants us to do, how to do it, so that the family can be one with him. salvation is of the Lord, and worship must be acceptable to him because he has revealed how he wanted it done. You will not have me speaking in tongues and there is not an interpreter. I doubt you'll have me speaking in tongues if there is an interpreter. I'd rather speak 5 words that can be understood than 10,000 in an unknown tongue. There will not be a man that can tell me to speak in a heavenly language in an assembly and God's word is said differently. You will not have me to bow down and kiss a statue because somebody said it. You will not have me praying to a Holy Mother Mary. You will not have me chanting, Namio Horenge Cho. You will not have me doing these things. You will not have me kiss a Kabbalah. You will not have me kiss the Kaaba. You will not have me do these things. What you will have me do is, what does God's word say? And beat my conscience down if I don't do it, to do it so that I will submit to the mighty will of God. Salvation is of the Lord. What do you do with it when it's brought to you? Do you relent from what you're doing? Or you do it your own way and experience the curse? This is where we stand when we see it. It's always been of the Lord. It's never been of man. Well, I hope that when we think about this message and we go back and read it again, that we can look and see more things in it than I brought out. But I wanted to bring out what I had. Bless God forever. Amen. Father of mercies, thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your exquisite glory. Help us to realize that it was all about you that salvation came. It's all from you. And you revealed to us from your Son that you drew us. You revealed to us from your Son who you are and how we are to worship you acceptably. Give us a clean heart. Give us a clean mind to serve you in an acceptable way. I pray this for all of us in the blessed name of your holy child, Jesus the Magnificent Christ. Amen and amen and even so. Amen.